Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Eric Bilstad.
John, back on Monday. Eric, so glad you're with us.
Yes.
And awake.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a fun week.
It has. Let's go to the River West neighborhood. Yesterday morning, my goodness, you would have heard flash grenades, federal agents, canines barking, and Channel 12 captured it all. This FBI, with a search warrant, they got an interview with a guy that was interrogated by the FBI for more than 6 hours, 35-year-old Ryan Porter. He admitted this on TV.
So you don't know of any drug selling?
Yeah,
drug
I sell weed.
But that's it.
Yeah, so a little cocaine.
But says he isn't who the FBI is really after.
So you're innocent then, basically.
I mean, it more or less, like I'm small potatoes.
Don't admit to anything. So you're part of this, more or less. The FBI office says it was a multi-year investigation targeting street gangs operating in Racine to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a
ties
big one.
To what agents say was an international cartel. It led to the seizure of cocaine, as he was talking about, fentanyl, marijuana, methamphetamines, 23 firearms, 22 suspects face federal charges and were arrested. Porter was one of those arrested, but he was released. And Channel 12 showed he also posted video of the aftermath of his house during a drug raid. It's what you would expect when the FBI SWAT comes in to find drugs in your house.
Mm-hmm.
They rip up everything, all your couch cushions, everything you could think of.
Even though I told them the code to my safe, they blasted it open.
There you go. I bet.
Okay.
It's mind-boggling what he told Channel 12, that his phone had been tapped for 6 months. They were surveilling his home for 6 hours. I mean, a lot. He was seeing everything.
So walked downstairs and, there's guns everywhere.
Should we feel bad for this guy? I'm not sure what he's asking for.
I'm not feeling bad for him. Why would you say this? Okay. I'm just glad I'm not his lawyer.
You think he has lawyer? That's his head hitting the
totally,
table right there.
Totally. 513 on WTMJ. We're going to talk about politics and AI. How messy it's getting coming up. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Visit DaveDrakamp.com. Andrew Cuomo, who resigned as governor of New York after being accused of harassing 11 women, is getting some praise today for his performance last night in the New York City mayoral debate. He is running as an independent, but he's getting some major flack for AI-generated campaign ad against his rival, Democrat Zohran Mamdani. It was briefly posted, then taken down by him because it got some major backlash. People felt it went too far. Here's part of it.
His main backer, the Democratic Socialists, ideas are common sense, such as trespassing.
Oh, boy. So it goes into many other different crimes. And it shows in AI-generated video, a woman driving drunk. There's domestic violence. There's drugs. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they're doing that and you're getting backlash.
Well, and what's interesting is that they get backlash, so they delete it, they yank it off the websites, yank it off social media, but damage is already done. I mean, the imprint was made. It's being replayed. It's being talked about. It's being shown over and over again. So they got what they wanted out of it.
Yeah, people were thinking it was really in bad taste. So what about a debate that an opponent just won't attend? Won't come, won't do it. Would you just debate an AI version of that person? It actually happened. Lieutenant governor's race in Virginia got really weird when the Republican candidate, John Reed, said State Senator Ghazala Hashemi refused all of his requests for a debate with his Democratic opponent. So he had an AI stand in. And the person who was the person asking the questions, usually it's an anchor. It was another AI. So here's a question that was asked, and this is the AI version of Ghazala Hashemi.
Government should ensure that families have home health care and elder care We also need to mandate that workers receive compensation at an acceptable level. I believe that a living wage is a fundamental right for workers and their families.
Mr. Reed, your response?
Well, how can you tell me that you know nothing about the economy and business without actually admitting you know nothing about economics and business? Senator Hashmi just did that.
So he's like having an argument with the bots.
Well, and that's just it. Like he's standing, if you can envision what a debate looks like, you know, they're both standing at a podium. He's literally at one podium and there's a monitor with this woman's fake AI face on the other podium.
Yeah, it's like a side profile. And when the AI version of her speaks, there's like a virtual microphone that goes up and then back down when she's done speaking. It was so weird.
Awkward. A little awkward.
520 on WTMJ.
And look, let's not, you know, mince words. This is the insider trading saga for the NBA. That's what this is.
Yikes. That's a massive nationwide takedown that FBI Director Kash Patel is talking about. Six defendants on insider sports betting conspiracy alone that took confidential information about NBA athletes and teams.
Current and former NBA coaches and players are also implicated, to include Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier.
And former Bucks player, NBA coach Damon Jones was just mentioned, accused of selling information, just one of the accusations, about LeBron James while he was with the Lakers.
Misused information obtained through longstanding friendships that they had with NBA players and coaches. Defendants used this non-public information to place hundreds of thousands of dollars in fraudulent bets, mostly in the form of prop bets on individual player performance.
Terry Rozier. He's accused of faking an injury while playing in the Hornets game in 2023. Here's how this one worked out, and you'll hear from the NYPD commissioner, Jessica Tisch.
But others close to him know that he planned to leave the game early with a supposed injury. Using that information, members of the group placed more than $200,000 in wagers on his under statistics. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash.
Yikes. He was benched last night, by the way. The NBA says that they're on leave right now while they investigate. Now, the second investigation and bust they were talking about kind of bleeds into each other. It involves 31 total defendants, a nationwide scheme, get this, to rig and involve former athletes. It was an underground poker game that was fixed.
The games in the New York area were backed by the Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese crime families of La Cosa Nostra.
La Cosa Nostra is translated as our thing in Italian. It's used by the FBI to refer to the American mafia. That included capos and soldiers of the mob. So a capo is a made member of the Italian crime family, and a soldier is fully initiated, a low-ranking member of the organization. So how are they accused of cheating tens of millions of dollars out of people? It involves automated shuffling deck machines that read the cards where you know which person likely had the best hand. Then there's hand signals sent out with people all over the room. And here's Commissioner Tisch with other ways it was done.
Barcoded decks and hidden cameras built into tables and light fixtures. The organizers also enlisted well-known public figures, former and current NBA players and coaches, including Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, an NBA champion and a Hall of Famer, to make the games appear legitimate. Victims believe that they were sitting at a fair table. Instead, they were cheated out of millions. One victim in particular lost $1.8 million. In total, losses exceeded $7 million and continue to climb.
And that's not the only way they did this. X-ray machines were used. You know, when you put your cards face down, you think no one's going to see it. There was an X-ray underneath.
It's like
able
out of the
to read the cards.
They had special sunglasses that could see through the card or at least see letters on the card that would indicate what kind of card it was.
Yes. So if it was face down, Eric, you were showing me, if you had these types of sunglasses on, it would say Q or K.
So that's why they have the sunglasses.
That's crazy.
The odds were rigged in their favor.
Chauncey Billups is the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, former NBA star. Overlapping suspects also include Eric Ernest, Damon Jones, Shane Hennon. They were dubbed the face cards for the scheme. An NBA spokesperson says Billups and Rozier are on immediate leave from their teams and the integrity of our games remains the top priority. There is also many acts of violence,
including the gunpoint robbery of a person in order to obtain a rigged shuffling machine.
And threats against their victims who wouldn't pay up. Sounds like a mob movie, doesn't
it? It's just out of it.
527 on WTMJ. Chief Meteorologist Brian Iznanski joins us. Brian, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we doing? That Aaron Rodgers soundbite cracked me up that I just heard.
I know, me too. Hey, you know, I know that...
I don't even know what he said. I couldn't even repeat any of it. It just was like, yeah, you know, I'm just contemplating, Brian.
I'm just going to talk about some stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Enigma at all, Brian?
I watched, like, maybe 20 minutes of it. But I heard some things about it, yeah.
He does love himself.
Oh, yeah.
He loves himself. But that's good. Yeah. Hey, you got to have a confident quarterback, right?
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about Rodgers a lot, and I know we already have. It's been exhausted for sure. But, yeah, I just wish, like, I don't know. I obviously awesome quarterback. I'm not even, like, offended by, like, some of his, like, hotter takes on stuff. Like, that doesn't bother me. Everybody has a right to whatever, and it really doesn't rub it. It's just the way. The delivery.
The delivery. Yeah. You know? Well, he's talking like he's a hot guy, you know? Like, yeah. Right. Like, he doesn't care. It's all like, you blah.
So casual.
Yeah. Every time he says he does, like, he comes across this stuff as like, you know, like, I don't care. But you know that he cares, like, a lot.
But, yeah,
like,
stop,
probably
dude.
More than anybody.
Totally. Yes. Okay. I know that Susan Kim loves her different moon names, you know, when there's a.
Yes.
Harvest moon. Does. Okay. Have you told Susan about the second moon that Earth has through 2083?
Yeah, I saw that too, that little thing or whatever. I haven't talked to Susan about it yet, but is there something new with it today that's coming about with it?
It's really an asteroid. It's about 10 times farther away from us compared to the actual moon. So the one thing that people are trying to make clear is that it's not going around the Earth, like orbiting the Earth. It's orbiting the sun, plus the size.
Right.
It's really hard to see. You need, like, a telescope to be able to track
that's
it.
That's no moon.
But the reason why we're...
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a moon to me.
Totally.
We're not landing on that thing either.
Maybe. No, who knows? The reason why we saw this one is because we're looking for different objects that could destroy Earth. So it's a quasi-moon that we studied to look at asteroids, how they move and interact with Earth over time. So if Susan asks, now you have so much wealth of information thanks to us.
That's true.
I'm going to pass it along. Maybe she's listening right now. Who knows? It's very possible. But, I'm down in Racine this evening, guys. We're down at our Let's Talk event. We host these Let's Talk events here at TMJ4. And this one's down in Racine, so they might as well have their hometown boy come in.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk Racine down here. Some good story ideas. It's great. It's a way for us to connect with the community. I learned about this organization called swimracine.org, their website, and it's a nonprofit that's really dedicated to keeping people safe along Lake Michigan. And as we kind of joked about as a recent boater, I've learned more than ever how dangerous Lake Michigan can be, and it can change like that. So they're doing a number of things, whether it's like educational programs or pushing to get more throwable devices out on the piers. They're all about keeping people safe near Lake Michigan, and I think it's pretty cool.
Where are you if anybody's in Racine, and who else can we see? Who are the big stars?
You got Charles Benson down here.
Oh,
he's handling all the political heat. Lauren, our new Racine beat reporter, she lives down here. She's going to be all about Racine. She's down here as well. Sam, one of our producers, is down here. Rod Burks is down here for the hot sports take.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic. I'm sure you're getting a lot of questions about the frost freeze warning. Take us through the 5-day. Take us home, Brian.
Yeah, so tonight it's going to be chilly. Low temperature tonight. We're probably going to dip down lower 30s in Milwaukee, maybe staying just above the freezing mark, but locations within a mile or two away from the lake likely going to fall below freezing tonight. If we clear out completely, we're going to see some 20s tonight. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high 53. Saturday, tiny chance of a shower. We're talking like 10 to 20% chance. Don't let it ruin any plans. If you have trick-or-treat plans, I think you're fine. 57 for a high, up to 60 on Sunday, and then 56 on Monday with a partly cloudy sky.
All right, thank you, Niz.
All right, we'll see you guys.
See you, buddy.
If there is not going to be reform that fixes these problems, then I think it's time for the governor to call on Jill Underley to either do her job or step aside.
That is Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's running for governor. Today, just a couple of hours ago, calling for something to happen regarding State Superintendent Jill Underley. This is because of a story that we've been following here on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. I know Kristen and Steve have been all over it on Point Taken. This investigation by the Cap Times over what went on, how long it took, what wasn't done when it came to teacher misconduct and sex misconduct cases. So I should also mention that Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, who's also running for governor, has also released a statement calling for a resignation of some type or an investigation into this case. So Jill Underley, according to the Cap Times found at least 44% of more than 450 investigations that involve sex misconduct or grooming allegations when it comes to teachers across the state. And the paper made requests at school districts across the state, open records requests, asking for more information. And like every school district was different about it. Some like didn't even have any information to share. Others said, yeah, you got to pay us $100,000 because we don't have the manpower to go do it. I mean, just crazy numbers and different things like that. And there's been a lot of talk to get Jill Underley on the phone or to get some answers from her. She hasn't really responded other than a video she posted on YouTube. They were hoping that she would talk today, but
it's my understanding from her representatives that she's attending a Distinguished Alumni Award event today at her alma mater in Indiana rather than fulfilling her duty to the people of Wisconsin.
That is State Representative Amanda Nedweski, the co-chair of the Committee on Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency.
It's a long title.
It is, yeah. They held a hearing today on it, and she was not there. So instead, they heard from the deputy state superintendent. Lots to get into here. Where should this go from this point? Should we be changing the law? Should we tweak something? Joining us now in Wisconsin's Afternoon News is State Senator John Jagler. John, I know you're on the Education Committee. I know education's a big part of your purview and what you're most interested in fighting, fixing, changing when it comes to the state of Wisconsin. I know you're at that Tom Tiffany news conference. What's your take on some of this?
Well, look, guys, I mean, this comes down to how big of a problem is this and what we should do about it. I mean, politics are going to politic. You know, Tom Tiffany was there, and he made some good points. I, as a policymaker, as chair of the Senate Education Committee, is trying to look at this as more of a, okay, problem-solving thing. And it's, sure, it's clear, we don't know how big of a problem this is. I mean, you know, you look at, here's a perfect example. Here's a lot of things of what's going on, what was disturbing in that initial Cap Times report. Okay, Teacher X is accused of something wrong, something perhaps not, you know, criminal, sometimes was criminal, but something creepy, something weird,
right?
Some of the grooming stuff that we're talking about, contact after hours, contact texts, weird behavior. Okay, and the school district went to these teachers oftentimes and said, what's going on here? What'd you do that? Hey, how about this? Suspend, voluntarily forfeit your license, and we'll leave it there. It'll go away. And that's what happened. And, well, you know, we have to decide whether that's okay or not, because, you know, if you actually launch a formal investigation, maybe there is more serious conduct that happened. Maybe there's more victims. But, you know, what was so frustrating to me about Jill Underley is she did not comment to the Cap Times in that
right.
story. And she sent out a spokesperson and said she didn't come to this hearing today. But one of the things I want to ask from her, in her initial response to the Cap Times story, she said, when it comes particularly, I know I'm narrowing down to this part of the story because it was a huge, big story, but I think it's important to show how frustrating this is. She said in the initial response to the Cap Times, demanding a retraction, calling it misleading, saying those forfeitures are permanent. They're a permanent forfeiture. If you turn in your license in this matter, it's not like you just didn't renew it. They're permanent.
Right. You can't teach again. Well,
yeah. But the Cap Times discovered that's not actually the case. It's going back to 2018. There were at least 8 that they know of,
yep,
of people who actually got their license back and went back to the classroom. Who was notified? How was this notified? And so is it permanent? It's not permanent. In a letter to us, as chair of the Senate Education Committee and co-chair, Senator Romaine Quinn, she said most of the time it's permanent. Then they put out a video this morning that looked kind of like a hostage video of her stating her case and how she takes this seriously. And she says it's permanent again.
Yep.
What is it? And like I said, that I realize that's just a small part of the story, but it's one of the reasons why we want to talk to her. She has not returned our calls. She did return, had from her office with her signature on it, a letter to some questions that we had posed, but it only led to more questions. So, I'm trying to get to the bottom of how big this is, how big of a concern they think it is. So we're going to actually invite her before our committee. I'm chair of the Senate Education Committee on November 4th. It's my birthday. That'll be a great day.
A nice happy birthday for you.
I'm going to invite her to come and testify, I don't want her deputy. I like Tom McCarthy just fine. I have conversations with him. I like the folks that she sent to our committee before, but she's never appeared once before our committee on any matter. So it's an invited testimony only, and the only invited speaker is her. And I want to ask her some questions and get to the bottom of this, because the way I see it right now, guys, protecting kids, that needs to be a real priority, not a reaction to save face from some story. And that's all it seems to be right now, and a poor reaction at that.
Here's my question. Maybe it's multifaceted. Is this just political because they're running for governor and this is perfect to say, protect our kids? Or, are you talking about maybe this could be a longer conspiracy of something that could be like, covering up the priests and that were sexually assaulting children when they were younger? Are you trying to say that that Jill Underly is not doing her job? She's not deputized to arrest anyone. People are innocent until proven guilty. I mean, do you think that there could be a lot more where we're covering up potential pedophiles?
I don't know, but we will never know unless we can ask her some questions. Look, there's a culture. There's a culture here that's been going back for years, long before Jill Underly, probably even before Governor Evers when he was superintendent. Something is wrong, and it's designed to protect the machine, the educational bureaucracy machine. And that's all it's ever been. It's never really been about protecting kids. Now, having said that, there are people at the Department of Public Education that are deeply concerned about this. And do I believe there's some sort of grand scheme? No. But the machine will always protect the machine. The bureaucracy will always protect the bureaucracy. And whether this is the surrendering of license and stuff, is that just a way to, are you really about getting bad actors out, or is it about not embarrassing the school or not putting the district through this? And the districts, by the way, are not clean in this either. Part of the Department of Public Instruction conversations I've had with them is they're not getting exactly clear information here from the districts either.
Yeah, it's inconsistent.
So I as a policymaker, as someone who, looking at this from the outside, what can we do to make it easier? And the fact that they never came to us with this problem before, Department of Public Instruction, we've had dozens and dozens of conversations about all kinds of matters. No one from the department came and said, hey, you know what? When it comes to this grooming stuff, and we got some bad actors, we need some help getting out of, we need some clarification in X, Y, or Z of the law, or when it comes to more money. They never made that request before. It's never been about, we need money for this, or further investigators,
right,
or anything.
We're going to let you go, John. I know it's been a long one for you, as you guys have been cranking on this. Senator John Jagler, they're going to hold a hearing on this. He says on his birthday, that first week in November, and you would expect a little bit more detail on this. And his point being with the license is that if you revoke the license, is that enough? And who should be mandating that? And by the way, if you are revoking the license so they can't teach again, why are there at least 8 times, according to the Cap Times, when some of these teachers were able to come
back?
So these are all questions that have yet to be answered.
We'll have to wait and see here. Okay, if you want to listen to what we just did with Jackler, an interview with him, Just text WAN, it stands for Wisconsin's Afternoon News, to 855-616-1620, WAN to 855-616-1620. We covered a lot today. We talked about the Packers uniforms. Why are they changing from yellow to white? We also talked about political ad controversies and someone who debated a counterpart in a lieutenant governor's race with their AI double. Really interesting. Also, how AI is going to be really huge for a Port Washington data center, how it's going to help a lot of different people, including General Motors, that's going to have a 2028 Escalade that's going to allow you to not even look at the road while you drive and watch movies. We also talk about the Milwaukee, Wisconsin-based connection to what's going on with the coaches and players that are among those charged in the NBA with the sports betting and mafia-backed schemes with ABC News' Brad Garrett. The White House construction debate. Green and Gold Insiders with Alex Stroph. You can do that all if you text WAN, W-A-N, to 855-616-1620.